live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Gardaí have confirmed a search is currently underway after a man escaped from Garda custody in Letterkenny. Latest figures released by government reveal community Gardaí numbers in Donegal are down from 35 to just 2. The Education Minister has been told St Mary's National School Stranorler cannot afford any more delays in its campaign for a new school building. And the PS now are working with An Garda Síochána after the attempted murder of an elderly woman in County Tyrone. Those stories to follow on full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport at about 5:15 with Oisin Kelly. But first in news, Gardaí have confirmed a search is currently underway after a man escaped from Garda custody. The man appeared at Letterkenny District Court on assault and related charges on Monday, previous to his escape. The Teachers Union of Ireland say it's impossible to attract and retain young teachers who face additional training costs and low entry-level pay. A nationwide lunchtime protest was held today. Teachers who engaged in the protest outside Finn Valley College say it is important action is taken to allow future generations who choose to enter the profession remain in Donegal rather than have to travel to other countries for better pay. Crona Kerr, chair of TUI's Donegal branch, and Seamus Ferry, member of the Executive Board of Teachers, spoke to Grey Hughes during today's protest.
It's very, very important because we don't want the young teachers, the lifeblood of future generations of education in the county and nationally, we don't want them to be left behind in the education system. And when we take it at the moment that one third of all young entrants who are going into the profession are no longer going into the profession, they are leaving our shores, they're going abroad, and they are being scooped up by other countries.
Corona, from your perspective, you would agree, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I'm actually one of those teachers that are affected, so it means an awful lot to me with regards to my life and my mortgage and my child and my family. It's not just, you know, new young 20-somethings that are coming out. It's they're all ages, they're coming from all over, and we're all deeply affected. It's taken a very long time to get a place in the teaching world these days.
Latest figures released by the government have revealed that the number of community Gardaí in Donegal is down from 35 to just 2. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says this is a shocking revelation, given community Gardaí are a vital part of policing in the county. Since 2011, community Gardaí in Donegal has decreased by 33, and along with the closure of a number of Garda stations throughout the county and a dwindling number of Gardaí, Senator McLaughlin says Donegal has been left with limited resources. He says the government is to be held responsible for the collapse of community policing.
Donegal is one of the worst examples in the entire state of the collapse of community policing. This is a big deal because we know from experience in Donegal, where you have community Gardaí working in communities, they can work with people who are at risk of reoffending. They can win the confidence of communities being on the ground. They're a really, really important and crucial part of our policing strategy in terms of that partnership between the Gardaí and communities to protect us, to bring down crime levels. So this is absolutely appalling.
And this is again another example of Donegal as a disadvantaged region.
For sure, we know that Garda numbers are down by as much as 1 in 4 in some parts of the county. The Glenties district, in terms of An Garda Síochána, has been done away with. In the rural areas of Donegal, Garda numbers have been absolutely squeezed. They've closed some Garda stations. But I think this figure is actually the worst that I've seen yet, where this government have allowed, over the last 7 years, community police to collapse. And there needs to be an urgent intervention here by government to give Garda management the resources they need to put Gardaí back into these roles.
The Health Watchdog has published an overview report of its medication safety monitoring programme. During the course of the inspections, which were conducted at 34 hospitals nationwide, HICWA identified specific high risks in 6 hospitals, which include Letterkenny University Hospital. Catherine Gaffney reports.
Risks were primarily identified in relation to the governance of medication safety and were brought to the attention of the senior management team at Letterkenny University Hospital at the time of the inspection. Subsequently, formal written notification of the identified risks was issued to the accountable person at the hospital within 2 working days of the inspections. The hospital was required to formally report back to HICWA with an action plan to reduce and effectively manage the risks identified within 5 working days of receipt of the written notification. Details of the risks identified were included in the hospital's published medication safety inspection reports, along with copies of correspondence between HICWA and the hospitals. A link to the full report can be viewed on our website, highlandradio.com.
The head of human resources in the Gardaí has told the disclosure tribunal that his boss said we're going after him in the commission in relation to Maurice McCabe. John Barrett said he was shocked and dismayed at the comment but didn't realise its significance until later. Counsel for the tribunal says Cyril Dunn is certain he never said that. Juliet Gash reports.
Head of Human Resources in the Gardaí, John Barrett, was engaged in what he described as a cottage industry of activity in seeking to improve Maurice McCabe's working conditions in Mullingar. He says he was at a meeting with the Chief Administrative Officer on other matters when Cyril Dunn asked him to stay back and said to him, "We're going after him in the Commission," in reference to Maurice McCabe. John Barrett says he indicated his shock and dismay that such an approach would be taken in the O'Higgins Commission and said he may have used an expletive. While Mr. Barrett thinks the comment was made on the eve of the commission on May 13th, he has no note to show this is the case. Mr. Barrett says at the time he didn't realise the significance of the comment until a week or 10 days later, when he was aware of contentious issues arising at the commission. Juliet Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
Sinn Féin have moved their Ireland Fisheries Heritage Licence Bill, which they describe as an attempt to address a depopulation of Ireland's offshore islands by giving local fishermen and women back the ability to make a living as they have traditionally done. Representatives from island communities were in the public gallery for the debate. Proposing the bill, Sligo Leitrim and South Donegal TD Martin Kenny said such a move was recommended of the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Agriculture, Food and the Marine. He said the bill seeks to facilitate the continuation of traditional fishing practices on offshore islands.
This is a licence which will be non-transferable, and the holder of the licence will not be able to lease it or seek to transfer it to any other person, and that the licence holder will have to be on board the vessel whilst fishing. So, you know, worries that people would have or concerns they'd have of some kind of abuse occurring in regard to all of this are taken care of in this bill. The introduction of a non-transferable community island quota is really what we're trying to bring about here.
However, Junior Minister Andrew Doyle told the Dáil there are a number of problems with the bill, which is due to be voted on next week. He said the key problem is it is not compatible with the Common Fisheries Policy.
The legal advice that the department has given is that the bill is not compatible with the EU law and the provisions of the Common Fisheries Policy. But I wish to reassure the House that the government recognises the value and importance of maintaining vibrant rural and coastal communities. The bill, as I read it, proposes to confer the responsibility on the minister to issue licences to any person, either habitually or ordinarily resident on offshore islands, to engage in fishing in a narrowly defined way. The bill does not set out how residency would be determined, nor is it clear how the proposed application process would deal with applications by corporate bodies such as cooperatives and partnerships, which come under the legal term person. I would have concerns then that the bill would, if enacted, be open to exploitation by those with very little fishing heritage or island connections. The bill does not define what is meant by the term offshore islands, and it seems to presume that islands have a 6-mile territorial limit. Many of the islands around the coastline are contained within the baselines of the territorial seas of the state, and these include the Blasket Islands, the Aran Islands, Inishbofin, Clare Island off Mayo, and Aranmore Island off Donegal.
There's a call for a new law imposing a legal duty on doctors and other health professionals in Northern Ireland to admit mistakes. It follows the inquiry into the hypnotriemia-related deaths of 5 children in Northern Ireland's hospitals, which found that 4 of them were avoidable, including that of 9-year-old Derry schoolgirl Rachel Ferguson, who died at Alton na Galvin Hospital in 2001 after what was supposedly a routine appendix operation. It's now been determined she died died after being administered with a lethal dose of intravenous fluids. The inquiry report found there was a reluctance among clinicians to openly acknowledge failings. Solicitor Des Doherty represented Rachel's mother Marie at the inquiry.
What we need is what is known as a duty of candour, and that's what the inquiry chairman has said. It's the first recommendation he makes in the report, and Marie Ferguson has referred to it as Rachel's law. And the point about this is, and it's very, very, very important for people to understand this, is that not only should there be a duty of candour, there's one exists at the moment in the medical profession, but it's an ethical matter. Mm-hmm. What has to happen here is that there has to be a duty of candour statutorily introduced with regulation that means that if they don't exercise the duty of candour in an unforeseen circumstance or a death, then they're liable to criminal prosecution. So from now on, what would happen would be if there is a controversial death in a hospital and someone begins to think, well, if I just keep my mouth shut and I don't say anything, or in actual fact I'm going to lie, no one will ever know. And they might get away with it, because that's the possibility. They may get away with it. But the duty of candour will impose upon them a legal obligation to tell the truth from day one.
The PSNI are working with an Garda Síochána Síochána after the attempted murder of an elderly woman in County Tyrone. Pat Davidson sustained serious injuries after a burglary at her home in Auchnacloy on the 23rd of January. Hannah Spratt reports.
The 83-year-old was discovered in her garden below an open window on the 23rd of January after trying to escape from intruders in her home. It's thought the incident could be linked to three other burglaries in the Auchnacloy, Ballygully and the Seskenore areas. This morning, two searches were carried out in the Talla area of Dublin and a number of items were seized. The black Saab vehicle, which is thought to have been used during the burglaries, was also recovered in Dundalk. Anyone with any information is being urged to come forward.
Meanwhile, detectives are investigating the circumstances surrounding the sudden death of a 56-year-old man in Derry. The man was admitted to hospital on the evening of Monday, the 29th of January, after he was discovered injured in the communal stairway of an apartment block in Enniscarron Crescent shortly after 8 p.m. The man did not recover from his injuries and died in hospital this morning. A post-mortem examination will take place in due course to determine the cause of death. Detective Inspector Michael Winters is appealing for anyone who was in the area of Enniscarron Crescent on Monday evening and who witnessed the man falling, or someone with any information about the incident, is asked to contact detectives in Strand Road. The Education Minister has been told that St Mary's National School in Stranorlar cannot afford any more delays in its campaign for a new school building. Speaking in the Dáil today, Donegal Deputy Pat de Cope Gallagher said one planning permission has already run out for the school because of a delay in agreeing plans to go to tender. He urged Minister Richard Bruton to tell his officials to speed up the process.
I'm imploring upon you to give a political directive to the department to move on as quickly as possible to allow the next the school to go to tender later this year.
The department attempts to be fair to every school and every community, and the department has to be satisfied that the tender process is robust, and that's obviously been done. I agree that it would be best that we could give schools an understanding of the way this occurs, and I will talk to my department to see can communication be improved with this school.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale. Now on at Station Roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's now 5:15, time now for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games, and the LYT are through to the finals weekend of College's GA Championship action. The Letterkenny side won today at Hockfield and Kildare, beating the Army Cadets by 14 points. Milford's Dara Black and Buncrana's Derek O'Connor scored the goals in the 220-112 victory. Michael Carroll had 5 points, while Dara McDade knocked over 6. The finals weekend will be held at Santry in Dublin on the 16th and 17th of February. The LYT will play Mary Immaculate College Limerick in the semi-final. LYIT selector Eddie Glacken said the side put on a solid performance today.
Been a very good day, a good performance by a lot of the young players. We were missing a number of players today, and a lot of lads that showed the importance of the squad, which will be very important if they get through when we're through to the trench weekend. A lot of lads come in and put their hands up today.
A 14-point victory in the end, a comprehensive one. Were you troubled at any stage in the game, Eddie?
I think the scoring, I don't think it was that big a gap between them. The Cadets had a few very good individual players, but it was a great team performance by LYT from a couple of young lads at the back there, Liam Kelly and Alton Doherty, come in today, and and done very well. But, you know, the experience there around the middle with Michael Carroll and Jigger O'Connor, Dara McDade, Enda McCormick, you know, they really got to grips with there. And that's that middle third. And in fairness, you know, I don't think we're ever behind in the game.
And you can hear more from Eddie in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. On to rugby. Ireland have named their team for Saturday's meeting with France in Paris. With more on this, here's Oisin Langan.
So the team is as predicted, with James Ryan in ahead of Devon Toner for his Six Nations debut in the second row, while Cian Healy gets the nod over Jack McGrath in the front row. Rob Kearney's at fullback with Keith Earls and Jacob Stockdale on the wings, and Robbie Henshaw and Bundy Aki in the centre. It's Johnny Sexton and Conor Murray in the halfbacks. Healy, Best and Furlong are the front row, with Henderson and Ryan in the second row, and Peter O'Mahony, Josh Van Der Fleer and CJ Stander in the back row. On the bench, it's Sean Cronin, Jack McGrath, John Ryan, Devon Toner, Dan Levy, Luke McGrath, Joey Carberry and Fergus McFadden. Ryan has only made 10 appearances for Leinster, but this will be his fifth Irish cap. So what stands him out for coach Joe Schmidt?
We want to be able to keep building in that position. It's a position that we probably don't have huge depth in, and we've got a few young guys who are pushing through that we've given opportunity. And James is obviously one of those. We felt he went really well against Montpellier recently, who are a big side. And we're really looking forward to seeing what he delivers on Saturday.
Keith Earls' good form for Munster has earned him a place on the wing. He's expecting a tough match against the French, despite the fact that Ireland are warm favourites.
We just know it's going to be massively physical. You know, they have a lot of new caps coming in, a couple of young lads, and there's a bit of the unknown. And when you go to Paris and play against a French team, it's just the up a notch as well. So, massive challenge for us, and I'd say hopefully we do get a good start.
The team and squad leaves for Paris today. Kick-off on Saturday in the Stade de France is at 4:45. With the Irish rugby squad in Carlton House, I'm Oisin Langan.
Moving on to soccer, former Everton midfielder Kevin Kilbane was impressed by Seamus Coleman's Premier League comeback last night. The Republic of Ireland captain was man of the match on their win against Leicester at Goodison Park. Killybegs native Coleman had been out for 10 months after suffering a broken leg against Wales in the World Cup qualifiers, and Kilbane says he didn't miss a beat.
It's all right playing practice games, it's all right playing the 23 games, but for him to step up to that level, play to the level he actually did, first of all, because you expect, yeah, maybe he might be able to continue that, carry that through for 45 minutes at best, but don't forget, 60 minutes. And then all of a sudden he's going through for 90 minutes, he's playing a full game, he's playing to the level. It's almost as if he's never been away.
Good to see Seamus Coleman back in action last night with an excellent performance. The English Football Association is to look into allegations that West Ham's director of player recruitment, Tony Henry, made comments about African players to agents. He's already been suspended by the club, who have started their own investigations. Newspaper reports are claiming he sent emails saying players from that continent can have a bad attitude and cause mayhem, and that he wasn't looking to sign anymore. West Brom will wear special shirts against Southampton on Saturday to commemorate Cyril Regis in their first Premier League home game since his death. They will feature Amontef on the club's former striker, of the club as former striker, celebrating a goal. The shirts will then be auctioned off for charity. Regis died last month at the age of 59. In Scotland, Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers says new defender Jack Hendry's a potential Scottish international. They signed the centre-back from fellow Premiership side Dundee in transfer deadline day, with goalkeeper Scott Bain arriving on loan from the same club. Rodgers says he's got an exciting young prospect. Republic of Ireland Women's Under-17 head coach Colin Bell has named a 20-player squad ahead of two upcoming friendlies against Denmark. And that squad will include two Donegal players from the senior panel. Tyler Toland and Amy Boyle Kiar have both been named. Those games will be played on February 5th and 8th. The new PDC Premier League darts season gets underway at Dublin's Three Arena this evening. World champion Rob Cross gets his campaign underway against defending champion Michael Van Gerwen in a repeat of their classic World Championship semi-final last month. Derry's Daryl Gurney goes up against Raymond Van Varneveld. Two-time world champion Gary Anderson faces Michael Smith. Munster Sulevich plays Simon Whitlock, while Peter Wright takes on Gerwyn Price. And golf, Chris Paisley has continued a sparkling start to 2018 by building a one-shot lead at 7-under after the opening round of the Maybank Championship. David Horsey and Mike Lorenzo Vera lead the chase at 6-under. Darren Clark shot a level par opening round 72 today. And Shane Lowry tees off his opening round at the Phoenix Open at around 20 past 7 Irish time this evening. Colt Nost is the early leader there in Arizona at 4-under through 10 holes. And finally, RTE have announced that Joanne Cantwell will be the new Sunday Game Live anchor for the 2019 season. Michael Lester is set to retire from the role after 34 years at the end of this season's championship. Cantwell says she's delighted to succeed a broadcasting legend. And that's it from the Sports Desk for today. We will be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning early after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Aisin. And for weather now, cold, bright and blustery for the rest of today with sunny spells and scattered heavy showers of rain or hail and lowest temperatures tonight of 0 to 2 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, Gardaí have confirmed a search is currently underway after a man escaped from Garda custody. The man appeared at Letterkenny District Court on assault and related charges on Monday previous to his escape. Latest figures released by the government have revealed that the number of community Gardaí in Donegal is down from 35 to just 2. Donegal Senator Padraig McLaughlin says this is a shocking revelation, given community Gardaí are a vital part of policing in the county. The Health Watchdog has published an overview report of its medication safety monitoring programme. During the course of the inspections, which were conducted at 34 hospitals nationwide, HICWA identified specific high risks in 6 hospitals, which included Letterkenny University Hospital. And the PSNI are working with an Garda Síochána after the attempted murder of an elderly woman in County Tyrone. Pat Davidson sustained serious injuries after a burglary at her home in Auchnacloy on the 23rd of January. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 1st of February. The death has taken place at his home of Robert James Buchanan Sr., Westbrook, Buncrana. Removal from his home on Saturday afternoon at 1:30, with burial in Christchurch Burial Ground, Buncrana, arriving at approximately 3 o'clock. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tomorrow evening until 11 o'clock on Saturday morning. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Christchurch Buncrana, Marie Curie Nurses or Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, Funeral Director, 100 Spencer Road, Londonderry. The death has taken place at her residence of Ruby Little, Mullingar, Killigordon. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock for service in Donoughmore Presbyterian Church at 2:30, with burial afterwards in the family plot. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Donegal Hospice, care of Terence McClintock, Funeral Director, Town Parks Convoy, or any family member. The death has taken place of Barney Doherty, Roe, Glebe, Linsford, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral on Saturday morning at 11 in Star of the Sea Church, Desert Tegney, Buncrana. Family flowers only, please. House private from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Ellen Helferty, Main Street Convoy, and formerly of Moyle Hill, Milford. Her remains will repose at her late residence in Convoy until 8 o'clock tonight, before removal to St Mary's Church Convoy, reposing overnight. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St. Columba's Church, Kilmacrennan, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in the Old Abbey Cemetery, Kilmacrennan. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Medical 2 Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors, Milford, or any family member. The death has occurred in Glasgow of Manus Gallagher, Manione, formerly of Fanmore, Falkara. His remains will repose at his late residence from 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. His remains will leave there on Sunday, going to Holy Cross Church, Dixon Avenue, Glasgow, arriving at 6:30 to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Monday morning at 9:30, and then to Lynn Cemetery, Lenshaw Drive. All inquiries to Anderson Maguire Funeral Directors, Glasgow. The death has taken place at her home of Shun Gallagher, Chapel Road, Bryn Lack, mother of Afric, Bosco and Father Nigel, parish priest of Annagrey. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock with family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in St. Columbkill's Church, Knockfalla, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. The sudden death has occurred of Michael Callaghan, 3 Rosevale Sion Mills. Michael's remains will repose at his late home tomorrow from 12 midday to 10 p.m. Funeral from his late home on Saturday at 9:30 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of Dennis Hewitson, Kildara, Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, on Saturday at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Harkin Funeral Directors, Creasla. The death has taken place at Altmagavan Hospital of Marie Maguire, Nae McGinley, 2 Canalside, Strabane, formerly of Orchard Street, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. The death has taken place at Knockmoy Lodge, Oma, of Michael McGrath, 119 Melmount Road, Sion Mills. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. The death has occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital of Teddy Gallagher, Common Ardra. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Family time from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Inquiries to Derek McCabe, Funeral Director, Ardra. The death has occurred of Frances McGee, 462 Imlick Villas, Carrigans. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St. Bathan's Church, St. Johnson, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the tragic death has taken place in Thailand of Louise Fury, 126 Ard Patrick, Glenties. Her remains are reposing at her family home at 126 Ard Patrick, Glenties. Removal from there tomorrow morning to St. Connell's Church, Glenties, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the local cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of James McGuinness and Sons Funeral Directors, Glenties.